Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, our ascended Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, real quick, I want to take a moment to wish all of you mothers a happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day, of course, is that time where we celebrate mothers past and present and to-be-soon mothers. Those times that we celebrate those who have given us life and nurtured us, especially in the faith. I am very close, most of you know, with my mom. I'm also close with my dad. My mom and dad are still together, all those things. But especially in the early phases of my life, my dad was a police officer. And that was back in the days when they gave you 2 days off, like in the middle of the week, you know, kind of a Wednesday, Thursday type gig. And my dad worked nights. And I really didn't see my father a lot in the very early ages of my life. So my mom and I are very close just because of the relationship and the time that we were able to spend together in those early formative years. But I also know that mothers hold a special spot in almost every child's heart because of the closeness and the nurture that they provide for us. That's why we have a fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Mothers are important for another reason, though, especially in the church, because they are the first people in our lives, usually, to witness the gospel to us, to give a testimony of the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ, his entire life, his ministry, he gave his life for us and died, that he might rise again to give us his life. This gospel message, this good news message, how oftentimes it's proclaimed to us first by our mothers. And also our fathers as well, as they keep us in the faith and help nurture and raise us in the faith. These are the important things that you as parents do. But that can also be the challenge. Witnessing the gospel to our children can be an ultimate challenge. Because sometimes it makes us feel awkward to sit down, especially with young kids, and try to explain to them the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. It means we're going to have to answer big questions about sin. It means we're going to have to actually have real and honest conversation about things like death. And those are awkward things. And especially in our day and age, we're kind of like, well, I'll save that for another time. I'll let pastor do it. I'll let Sunday school do it. I'll let anybody else do it. But that's to take your parental vocation and shove it aside. We are to proclaim and witness that gospel to our children. But there's another reason why sometimes we have trouble witnessing the gospel, giving a testimony of the gospel to our children. And that can definitely be because maybe we don't fully believe it. We kind of assent to it and say, yeah, that whole Jesus thing, he died, he rose again. But we don't actually believe it. And it doesn't actually impact our lives. It doesn't actually mean something to our lives. This freedom that Jesus Christ has won for us, and not just for us, but for that person that we're witnessing to. Now, it can be difficult, as I said, to witness that gospel to our children. But it can be exceedingly, incredibly, painfully difficult to witness that gospel to somebody else outside of our family. Sometimes even other immediate and close family, it can be hard to witness that to. That was the problem with our disciples in Mark chapter 16. They are locked up behind the upper room for fear of the Jews because they are afraid of exactly what is going on, and they don't believe the witness that was given to them. And they had multiple witnesses given to them. The women had seen the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene had seen Jesus in the garden before he disappeared from her. Some of the apostles had seen Jesus behind the locked doors. It took Thomas a little time to catch up with the program. There were others that had come and actually seen the empty tomb. Peter and John got in a foot race going to that tomb. Peter, of course, went in, even though John beat him to the tomb. But they both witnessed and saw that Jesus had risen, that his entire life, his ministry, his death was now done. And that he had something great to give them, his life, his gift, his forgiveness. And yet they're scared. They don't know what that means. They don't know what to do with that. They don't know what to do with the witness that they see. They don't know what to do with the good news. What do you do with news? Well, you're supposed to tell that news to other people, but they don't know how. They don't know what to do. And so confronted with the good news of Christ, all they can do is make excuses to not do anything with that gospel. Well, that might be good news, but it's probably not for me. I'm I'm the guy who betrayed him, says Peter. Well, it's probably too good to be true, Thomas said. We've never seen anybody get out of a grave before. It's unlikely to have ever happened, Andrew might admit. Others might have said, we're scared of what that means. We ran away from him in his hour of need. Maybe Jesus is angry with us. I'm kind of scared of what others might think of me if I went and told them this. People are going to think I'm insane. People are going to think I'm crazy. I'm a religious fanatic. I'm a nutcase, the other disciples might say. They don't want to be locked up. And still others might just simply say, so what? Great, Jesus is gone. But now we have some people that don't like us and stuff. So what? I'm just going to go live my life. I'm going to go away. I'm going to pretend this thing never happened. I'm going to go live my life and maybe I'll think that this thing, maybe I'll think about this event later on in my life, have some sort of deathbed conversion, but we're going to put it to the test. We're going to see if Jesus actually cares. We're going to see if this is really good news for me. So what? So what? I got better things in my life to do. I got better things in my life to deal with. I got bigger things in life to deal with. I mean, these are the reasons the disciples are scared. It's why they're fearful. It's why they're hiding. This is why Jesus has to come behind locked doors and rebuke them. In the Greek, it's actually chide them, mock them. He gets after them. He gets on their case. What are you guys doing up here hiding? What are you guys doing here? You have good news, and other people need to know that good news. Other people need to hear that I have indeed died for them as well, not just for you guys. Get out of here and go tell somebody. And Jesus gives them signs of the Gospels that they themselves will perform. They, of course, will heal the sick. There's a case of Paul raising the dead. Paul will be bit by a snake and there'll be poison supposedly in the cup that John will drink later on. Of course, that's how the legend goes. They will perform signs and wonders confirming that Jesus has worked through his apostles as he establishes his church on earth. And these things are written so that you may believe. These things are written so that you may have the gospel of Jesus Christ who's died for you. That has removed all your failures. Your lusts, your addictions, who has forgiven you of your failures in life with money and relationships, who has looked deep inside your soul at those things that you wish that you would never have done and sees them and says, that's where my blood will be poured because that's where you need healing. That's the good news. Your worst days belong to Jesus. Your worst failures belong to Jesus, and he's put them to death on his cross. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, that same gospel news that hit the ears of the disciples also hits your ears. Hits my ears. And what's our response? What witness do you give to the gospel of Christ's life, death, resurrection, ascension, and promise to return? What impact does that message of forgiveness and life and grace and mercy have on you? Does it have an impact on you? Maybe not just in how we act, and that's normally how we think about it, but how we live out our lives. But are we actually more like the disciples? Do we actually care? Or do we just kind of turn a deaf ear and say, so what? I did my church thing. I've ticked it off my list. But this gospel thing has absolutely no impact in my life. Now, I'm going out here on a limb here. But that's probably the truth behind most of our responses and reactions to the good news. That's nice. That's good. Hurry it up, Pastor, because I have reservations somewhere for lunch later. I'm going out on that limb to say that maybe our reaction can sometimes be, so what? Are we really that lazy? But I got good news for you. Jesus Christ was crucified and held to a cross by nails in his love for you because he wanted you to have his life, because he wanted you to be forgiven of your sins. That good news is life-changing. That means your sins are dead and gone, that they're not held against you, and that you get to live in freedom. Not freedom to continue along those paths of sin and unrighteousness, but freedom to react to that good news and go share that good news with all who will listen. Why don't we apply that good news of salvation that we love to hear, of our forgiveness, to our neighbor in need? Why don't we also proclaim that good news all around in our daily lives? We want to be forgiven of much, so why don't we show that forgiveness back out into the world? Why don't we tell other people about that forgiveness? We witness that forgiveness to others because we have been given much. We have good news to give to everyone else in our lives, and we need to do that. So there's a challenge. Jesus tells us to proclaim the gospel to all creation. That's not optional. That's something he tells us to do because we have been given so much that we also should return and give more back out. Proclaim it to all, Jesus says, and those who believe it, those who love it, those who cherish it, are to be baptized. Those who believe that gospel for them are to bring their children to be baptized, as we've seen today. Those who actually have had an impact in their lives by the gospel of Christ Jesus are to bring themselves into the fold of God's church. And God gives us precious signs even today. We might not be able to pick up snakes and dance around with them. I know that's kind of a common thing to do in churches, especially in the South. I know there's a rise in these type of things. But we have a greater and surer sign and seal. Jesus Christ has given us his gospel and allows it to be proclaimed freely to our ears. He allows us to gather in his church and to witness the miracle of his body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. The miracle of new birth and waters of baptism. He gives us the miracle of his word itself. To think that the very words of the apostles have come down over thousands of years now to our very ears is a miracle in of itself. We have lost entire manuscripts of the ancient world, and yet we still have this one and a lot of it. You have been given your Savior's very life. You are free. You are forgiven. Now imagine that good news in the life of everyone you meet. Your teachers, your co-workers, your students, your friends, your family, your waitress that serves you at the restaurant, maybe the cashier that checks you out over at Walmart. Now, I'm not asking you to go crazy on this and, you know, immediately start up a conversation. Hey, have you heard about Jesus? Now, that wouldn't be a wrong thing to do. But there's the thing. You are going to meet people in their lives that are down and out. You're going to meet people in your lives that are hurting and struggling and broken. You're going to meet people in your lives, and sometimes that might even be you. Yourself, that are struggling with the pains of sin. And it's going to do absolutely no good to say, wow. And it's going to do absolutely no good to sit there and say, oh boy, that must be terrible. Or, I feel for you. That's nice. Those are good things to say, I suppose. But you have better news. You have something to witness. You have the gospel of Christ himself in which you can say, I hear you. Jesus Christ has died for you. And in this change and chance of your life, and this heartache and this turmoil and this confusion and your sin and your denial, he reaches out and says he loves you. He has given you his life. You are his. Believe the gospel because he has given it to you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this is how we witness the gospel to our neighbors in need. Amen.